Good morning. It's 10:06. I'm John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network. Well, if you're wondering where Kathleen is and what she's doing, Kathleen got the flu last week, and she's still recovering from that. We hope that she will be back on the air soon. In the meantime, we soldier on. Well, in today's political world, the idea that an incumbent legislator with a safe seat in the state assembly would call it quits is counterintuitive, to say the least. And yet, 73rd District Representative Frank Boyle, a Democrat from Amnicon Lake, just south of Superior, is doing just that. Today, we're going to talk about the changes that have happened in the assembly during the last two decades and find out why Representative Boyle is not running for re-election. We'll also talk about his career. Feel free to call in with your questions and comments for Representative Boyle. Here are your phone numbers, 800-486-8655. That's a toll-free number, 800-486-8655. If you are in Milwaukee, please use our local number there, 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. The email address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. So you've got plenty of different ways to get a hold of us, and go ahead and start calling right now. Well, good morning, Representative Boyle, and thanks for joining us. Just to so people understand, neither you nor I are in Milwaukee.
This is absolutely correct. We are in the wonderful city of Superior.
Okay. Anyway, let's start at the beginning. Why did you get into politics to begin with? What did you want to do?
Amazingly, John, I ran for this position 40 years ago. Probably today or yesterday, I announced on the UW campus as a college student that I was going to seek election for the state assembly from what was then Price, Rusk, and Sawyer counties in northern Wisconsin, my hometown. We put on a student-oriented grassroots campaign from the campus here, and we're fairly successful. We lost to a 23-year Republican incumbent by 1% of the vote in 1968. 20 years later, I had the opportunity to do it again, and I always had the desire to serve in the political capacity that could make a difference in people's lives. I truly felt the calling of Kennedy at the time that all of us ought to serve, and that was my attempt at that time.
It was Willis Hutnick? Was that who you ran against?
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
It was Willis Hutnick, yes.
I went to high school in Hayward. So
yeah,
I
he was from Ladysmith.
Yep, I remember him. So you got into politics. You felt that call, and so you got into the state assembly in 1986 as a representative from this part of the state up here in the northwestern corner of the state. Talk about your first term. When you found yourself in the legislature for the first time, what was it like when you were first down there?
Well, again, the campaign was an incredible fight. It was a desired position, of course, here in northern Wisconsin as a Democrat. But what I found there is a chamber of which we were in the majority then, and we were until 1994. The Democrats controlled both houses. Tommy G. Thompson was just elected the Republican governor. So we had a split political scenario as we have today. What I found is a chamber full of idealistic people. John Mettinger, Clarenbach. There were some outstanding liberal voices, clairvoyant, if you will. I kind of fell in line. I fell in place and felt good about participating in what could be a real catalytic format for social change and a process that has the incredible ability to do good for people. And I found as we went along, and in 94 when we lost the majority, and in the subsequent 15 years since I've been a member of a minority party in the assembly, that things have changed dramatically. We shifted from a chamber of hope, of cooperation, of mutual respect for parties. When I chaired the State Affairs Committee, I allowed every bill, Republican or Democrat bill, that came before that committee chronologically to have a public hearing. Not all the bills were voted out of my committee. The Democrats controlled it then. But I gave every single colleague the right to air their position on their bill drafts. Currently, the Democrats do not have a chance to have a bill that they introduce aired in any public committee in the Wisconsin Republican-controlled Assembly. That's the difference. And I found that the animosity from political campaigns so propelled and became the focus of the Assembly, of the political process, that it became dysfunctional. It became a system that was contingent upon re-election. It became a system from both parties' perspective that required raising vast amounts of money for campaigns that are now in the Assembly in excess of $100,000 a race per candidate. Senate races that topple now $1 million in a contested Senate race. It became an arms race for money. And so although we still have some wonderful idealistic people in the chambers, both sides of the aisle coming into the process has taken over. And as a process of money changing, of money lendering, $20 million is spent by lobbyists to influence our political decisions, mostly our economic decisions. We spend $58 billion biannually in the state budget. So you can imagine there are a lot of people trying to get at that particular expenditure, be it the road builders, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, public education teachers. The list is absolutely endless. But I find that it has rendered the system basically paralyzed, whose sole objective is not to put out a real agenda for the people of the state of Wisconsin that accords health care, that takes care of handicapped, that has a fair and equitable tax base. But rather, it's a system of one-upsmanship, of how do we obtain the necessary millions of dollars to obtain power and control, and most significantly from an individual basis. I find my colleagues constantly struggling to stay in power by raising more money. And, you know, we talk about campaign finance reform marginally, and we give lip service to it. It isn't going to happen. Because no matter who's in control, they want that opportunity to exploit, for political reasons, money. During the delayed budget last year, for 3 months' delay, there were 77 fundraisers by legislators and political groups to acquire that power and that money during the budget process. This is extortion. This is pay to play. This is a process that has run amok. Campaign finance reform isn't going to happen. Because whoever the main fox is in that chicken coop, they require that amount of money to sustain their power base.
What did it cost the last time you ran for re-election? What did you have to spend? And now, again, yeah, you've had what can be called a safe seat.
I have, and I have broken away. I've always taken public funding, which relegates us, I think, to a total of individual contributions, and then the state puts in $6,000-$7,000 of checkoff money of individuals who voluntarily contribute that money. I think the total is $17,000 you can spend if you take public funding. If you exceed that, then there is no limit to that base, but then you do not receive the $6,000 or $7,000, whatever the division is of that total, sum total of state participation. So in the past, I think in every election but 4 years ago, where I had an incumbent sheriff running against me and was having a very difficult time, where I did not take public funding. So I've been able to run a campaign, and it's very grassroots. We do the doors. We do the lid drops. We organize a lot of people. We eat a lot of pizza. We organize internally here in the 73rd Assembly District. So, therefore, we can eliminate a lot of the expenditures that other campaigns require.
I want to give the phone numbers again and let people have a chance to call in, because we will be going to phone calls here in just a few minutes, so you'll want to be ready to go. And I know that Frank wants to talk to all of you. 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. That's a toll-free number. It's good pretty much anywhere you can hear this broadcast, not necessarily everywhere, thanks to the Internet. Could be somebody listening in Australia. I don't think that toll-free number works there. In Milwaukee, you can call us at 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. You can also send us an email. Here's the address, talk at WPR. talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. And as I said, we will be going to the phones in just a few minutes. During your career, you've taken stands on some pretty controversial issues. You were going back to early in your legislative career. You were in the lead on when Indian treaty rights were a huge issue, and the list goes on. Whether it's medical marijuana, a right to die, different things like that, being against the first Gulf War. Many times the so-called political pundits have said, well, Frank did it now, he's dead. He can't get reelected if he keeps taking these controversial positions, and yet you continue to take them, and you continued to get reelected, and many times by huge margins. Do you have an explanation for that?
Well, I think that the voters in the 73rd District, and I really thank them for giving me the freedom and the opportunity to be a bit of a maverick, if you will, a screaming maverick at times. I've had the ability to vote my conscience in what I thought was in the best interest of the people. My freshman year in 1988, I believe, I took over the American Study Committee, the liaison committee between Native communities and the legislature, at the height of what was the darkest chapter in Wisconsin history since the McCarthy era, the conflict over Indian spearing. And I made a statement then, and I'd just gone through the press releases in 1990, where I reaffirmed that the courts stated the Indians have a right to gather, harvest, and fish in the ceded territory, and they weren't going to deplete the resource. I convened a meeting at Telmark, which was incredible. It lasted 7 hours, and we brought all of the tribes together. We brought all of the opponents to Indian spearing and fishing in one room with the Attorney General, the DNR, all of the people. And we began engaged in a dialogue that took this issue off of the drunken boat landings of northern Wisconsin into a civil, refined exchange. And I think we did more. If I were to point to any single meeting that I've ever chaired to mediate in that conflict, than anyone would have ever thought. Dialogue is incredibly important. People can discuss issues civilly without fear. And I think it made an incredible difference at that point. So, yeah, it's been an incredible run. I contested the first Bush's headstrong removal of Saddam from Kuwait and the invasion without the United Nations support. He was going to go and take on the take it on his own. I objected to that, and I think that ultimately our involvement in the Middle East is one of the most tragic events in American history, particularly as it's equated now to his son, the current president, and our involvement in the Iraqi war. I'm proud of establishing in 1991 the Wisconsin Coalition for Peace and Justice, that provides that has, I believe, about 65 chapters all over the state of Wisconsin, that is contesting and protesting this unfounded war in Iraq. I'm proud of Superior Days to be one of the organizers of that event. There are issues and places that will live well after I'm gone and will be enduring, and I'm very appreciative of that.
We're going to take our break now, and when we come back, we've got full phone bank, so lots of people want to talk with Representative Boyle, and those lines will open up as callers drop off. And here are your numbers one more time, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. That's a toll-free number. In Milwaukee, it's a local call for you. Please use 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050, or send us an email. Here's the address, talk@wpr.org. We're talking with Representative Frank Boyle, who is not running for re-election after 22 years in the State Assembly. You can talk to him, too. We'll get the phone calls on the air after we take this brief time out. I'm John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn today. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 22 minutes after 10 o'clock, you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Here's what's coming up a little bit later today. He's played with Miles Davis, McCoy Tyner, Dizzy Gillespie, and plays with his band today after 2 on Talk of the Nation. Jazz musician Marcus Miller chats and plays live in the NPR studios NPR Studio 4A, to be exact. That's after 2 today on Talk of the Nation, right here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, this hour we're talking with State Representative Frank Boyle. He's been in the Assembly for 22 years, and now he's not going to run again. And you have a chance to talk to him, ask him about his career and the causes that he has championed in the State Assembly, and get him to talk about, just about anything. He'll talk about it. Here's an email before we go to the phones. It's an email from Steve in Eau Claire. It says, thank you for having on the last of the elected officials in Madison who went there to serve those he swore to represent and never wavered from his strength of character and honesty and never allowed himself to be swayed by the power of money. Over 2 decades he gave of himself on behalf of others. We are going to miss him greatly. So there's a thank you for you, Frank.
That's very nice.
Hang on, I need to turn your microphone back on. Sorry about that. So Steve in Eau Claire is a huge fan.
Yes.
Let's see. We have another Steve from Eau Claire, evidently, who's on the phone. There's got to be more than one Steve in Eau Claire. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Hi, Frank.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Frank. I wanted to say thanks for serving. I'm sorry to see you go. There are people like you and Spencer Black that I consider to be some of our local heroes. I think this is a terrible tale you're telling. It's very discouraging. As a progressive voter, I'm discouraged and disheartened by how I see the state going these days. There are some issues that I see as very important that are just getting ignored. One of those is the right to die or dignity with death issue that I recall you being associated with years ago. And one of the reasons I remember that is because there is practically no one else who I can recall that talked about that issue. What's happened to that? Where is that issue gone? Is it just died? Have people forgotten about it? What's happened to it?
16 years ago, Senator Fred Risser and I introduced the Death with Dignity legislation. As you know, Oregon, by binding referendum, legalized that concept of an individual in their final stages of life having a choice in their death, if you will. I am convinced that Wisconsin needs one additional constitutional amendment, and that is to turn this state into a binding referendum state. The only way that issues of this magnitude, be they smoking or cessation of smoking in public places, be they medical marijuana in Wisconsin, the timidity of my colleagues because of their inability to challenge or to be confronted by any opposition requires the people to step in. And Oregon voters stepped in and legalized a death with dignity by binding referendum. I think that in the interim, what we've got to deal with for lack of campaign finance reform is for the people of the state of Wisconsin to amend the Constitution to, by petition, have a binding referendum to initiate these most incredible concepts. The Death with Dignity bill has never had a hearing or never had a vote in any chamber of the Assembly or the State Senate. We've had numerous hearings in 16 years. Fred and I brought up the bill again, and it essentially went nowhere.
Steve, thanks for that call. Let's go to another Steve. It's the morning for Steves here on Wisconsin Public Radio. This time we'll go to Steve in Dodgeville.
Hello. This is Representative Steve Hilgenberg, and I wanted to call to tell Frank that I'm disappointed. I've heard the news, and I'm disappointed personally because I viewed Frank as a role model in the legislature. I viewed him as somebody with ideals and who went after the ideals in any way he could. And I also looked at him. We brought in 9 new members last election, and I think those new members were ready to make some real changes. And I was looking for Frank to be a leader of that movement. And I think that's going to continue. So I understand the difficulty of being in there, and I know that Frank was Frank, you were pretty much tortured by some of the things that you had to sit through, but I will miss you greatly, and I will probably call on you at home and try to get advice from you.
Steve, thank you, and again, I greatly respect the colleagues that I serve with in the Assembly. Both Republicans and Democrats have been friends of mine. It's this process that has become so stagnant and so contingent upon running scared all the time. I want you to keep the faith, man. Stick in there. You know, my decision isn't just because I've been a lightning rod for 22 years and I'm slowly burning out, but I'm 63 years old. My wife deserves a few good years left in this body. We've got mountains that we want to hike and climb in New Mexico and elsewhere. We've got continents we haven't had the time to travel to. So a lot of it is not just disillusionment with this system or abandonment of this system. I will never abandon the politics of this country. But it, chronologically, you know, I've been, you know, running hard, ridden hard, and put away wet a lot of times, as the old cliche goes. And I want to take some time off. I want to spend time literally with my wonderful wife, Katie, who has been my greatest political ally, who has shared this sometimes bumpy ride together. But she has been my advisor and at times my liberal leaning. Amazing to think about it, but she scolds me for being too conservative. I want to spend time with her.
Well, I appreciate your service, so thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks for the call. Frank, what was the straw that broke the camel's back for you?
Well, there were a number of issues, but certainly the most recently completed Butler Supreme Court campaign. You know, I was on the street with 35 people handing out literature for Butler, a guy that I greatly admired, who I thought was doing a wonderful job on the state's Supreme Court. But suddenly the battleground became control and possession of the court by the partisan money interest. The negative campaigning that I witnessed here in the Twin Ports. Now, the Twin Ports media, the TV media, about 30% of it covers Wisconsin, and yet Cableman and Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce could put these negative anti-Butler ads on the air. We couldn't compete with that in our little tiny lit drop. When you've got $250,000 to spend in the TV market in an area where you're only getting 30% bang for your buck, and I know what happened in the rest of the state, it says to me that this system needs change. It needs reform. We need to change the way we fund these campaigns. It wasn't a race. It was an auction. Who has the most money to debase and to negate and to put out the most negative campaigns you can possibly imagine? So it was just, again, a reaffirmation of what I had thought all along, is that this system needs some rapid, rugged change. And if we can't engage in significant campaign finance reform, then we've got to turn this process of legislating by binding referendum back to the people of the state of Wisconsin.
Let's go next to Joe in La Crosse. Joe, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to say thank you. And it's unfortunate, but it seems like it has to be somebody who's leaving before they start talking about a clear picture of the system that we have in place. And you're right about Justice Butler. I mean, agree or disagree, and there are things that I'm sure, you know, my political perspective is going to sometimes be different from Representative Boyle's. But the bottom line is, he's a candidate, he's a politician that you can have respect for. It's like Senator Feingold. There are dozens of things about Senator Feingold's positions that I completely disagree with. But he seems to be a man of integrity. I've met and had a chance to talk to him several times. And Representative Boyle, the same thing. We may not agree on everything, but we can agree to disagree, and we can talk about it, and we can see what works, and we can see what's in the best interest of the people that we care about. But that's gone now, and to a large extent. And he's right. This is an auction. But it's not just about the justices. It's about the fact that people are noticing, and when I say people, I mean like corporations and specific interests, are noticing that with enough money, you can achieve what you want to. It's like the legal system in this country. The idea that everybody's entitled to a lawyer is absurd. You're entitled to the best lawyer that you can afford. And when you can't afford a very good lawyer, you have a far, you know, far less likely chance of success. And politics has become nothing more than the extension of that. So we've really reached a point where we need people like this. So if you want to run for Congress, sir, you know, give me a call.
I want to run to the mountains and to the seashore. Thank you. Thanks for the comments.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Thanks for that. You mentioned you'd never leave the fight. What do you plan to do as a regular citizen to continue supporting the issues that have been important to you as a legislator?
There are all kinds of great causes out there. Involvement in the protection of Lake Superior, the greatest fresh body of water on the earth. I think that's a significantly noble cause. I would love to be involved in other environmental issues. The whole quest for carbon control to eliminate the potential and I think the inevitability of global warming that will annihilate the planet as we see it has got to be a quest for the salvation of our grandchildren and is something that we shouldn't shirk from, that we ought to be a part of. We've got to talk about turning this country around. And I'm going to continue to articulate that position wherever I am. But, you know, I'm very content working on the local level. I feel very good about going door-to-door and dropping literature for other really positive candidates. I'm a behind-the-scenes kind of guy. I'm very content doing that. I don't have to be the lightning rod, the catalyst. I think those days are over. But I'm not going to drop out. I'm going to be actively involved. I'm going to support good candidates like Russ Feingold, as the caller indicated. There are some really bright people. Dave Obie is tremendous, hard to get along with, but an incredible legislator who really has the heart and soul of the working men and women at heart here in northern Wisconsin. I'm going to be working for all of these wonderful good people. And you know, we always disillusion ourselves saying that no one can be more liberal than we can. No one can do a better job. That's crazy talk. I don't doubt that there's going to be a young candidate that'll spring up here in northern Wisconsin who will have the energy and the vitality to start all over again and to butt his head against this political wall for however long it takes to make inroads.
Our next caller is Mary Ann from Marshfield. Mary Ann, thanks for calling. Good morning.
Good morning. My question is simply, what can citizens do to make a change? Because I've been very eager to do something, but I don't know what.
Well, I would get involved. I would get involved in the political environmental groups. There are some wonderful organizations out there, anti-war groups. I intend to be active and involved in all of them. But there's a cadre of incredibly positive, progressive people in various areas in the state of Wisconsin. Be involved. Get involved. It's easy to do. Whatever your interest is to protect the planet, to change the politics of this country, those progressive groups are out there. Get involved in them.
Mary Ann, thanks for that call. Let's go next to Gary in Duluth. Gary, good morning.
Good morning. I just got an email here stating that Senator Frank Boyle was going to be at in Superior talking about impeachment on Saturday the 19th. And I was just wondering, now this seems to be a controversial issue, and I was wondering, why would this be controversial? What's Senator Boyle's take on why it's so controversial with the president, who has admitted breaking the law on wiretapping, and also he had declassified Valerie Plame so she could be outed? I just don't understand. What's Senator Boyle's take on that?
I introduced a resolution before the Assembly calling for the impeachment of President Bush 4 or 5 years ago, right after this this lie that brought us into the tragedy that is now the Iraqi war. Certainly grounds for impeachment. I can't believe for the life of me, and I think that that initiative is pretty much dead given the time frame of this election and this elimination. I can't believe there wasn't a single member of Congress, and any member could have brought impeachment proceedings forth, which is a special order of business and would have to be taken up by the Congress immediately. But they chose not to. And I think if there's any single issue that propels us into questioning the political rightness or wrongness of the individuals we elect on a national level, it would be that particular issue. Either we are reaffirmed as a nation that adheres to the constitutional principles that we've drafted, to the treaties that we sign, or we are simply a rogue nation. And so I continue, and I've had hundreds of signs printed at my own expense, sending the message to impeach the president. I've marched in demonstrations because I thought that the only way we can again as a nation reaffirm our value as a country that adheres to laws would be to at least bring impeachment proceedings and not enable and embolden future presidents to usurp the constitutional rights of all of us and of world treaties that they signed. So I'm continuing to address the issue, and I will be until President Bush is removed from office, or until the next election, I should say.
Let's go next to Bruce in West Milwaukee. Bruce, thanks for calling in this morning.
Well, thank you, Frank Boyle, for being such an outspoken champion of truth and justice. It's sad that you're leaving, and I am so impressed that you would stand up against this war, unconscionable as it is, and that you would, how can we have a Congress that won't take steps for impeachment? It's just unconscionable. And I think your interest in the binding referendum, which I know has been around for many years, how do we get that passed? How do we get that moved ahead with? To save Wisconsin from corporate capital interests that are not aligned with our own, you know? It comes down to what you do with a can of tuna. You know, the corporations should be taking the can of tuna back. Shouldn't be having to smell that can of tuna in our kitchen because we allow ourselves to be exploited by corporate capital interests. You can have a democracy which is capitalist. You can have a democracy which is socialist. And those of us maybe should be in a different state. And I often think we ought to secede and join Ontario. And I know I'm over-emoting about this, but I just am sad that you're leaving, but I'm glad that you've been a champion for all these causes.
Well, thank you very much. And again, I think binding referendum looks more appealing than ever before. Legislature would have to initiate it, as they have the gay-bashing marriage amendment that passed, the useless Vanna White Amendment we just voted on in April, that doesn't limit the governor's veto power at all. It just gives the perception that we've done something. But, in the states that have binding referendum in recent years, Florida enacted their smoking ban and increased their aid for education just recently in Florida. In Oregon, the Death with Dignity bill was legalized by binding referendums. California has property tax relief measures by referendum. I think some of the most significant social issues in states' history currently have been in those states that indeed have a binding referendum format for citizens to directly petition their government. The timidity that we experience now because of negative campaigns, because everyone elected to state and national office constantly runs scared of this incredible need to generate millions of dollars of cash to be competitive, to combat the negative ads so that you can throw more negative ads at your opponent than they can throw at you, is unconscionable in a democracy. I think the survival of this democracy is at stake. And I am deeply worried that unless someone somehow steps forth, unless there's a group of progressive people of like mind, Republicans and Democrats alike, simply say the process isn't working, let's change it. How can we change it? But I don't see that courage happening anytime soon, at least not within the Wisconsin legislature.
You're talking about binding referendum. Aren't you concerned that the same moneyed interests that dominated the last state Supreme Court race would influence the population? Aren't you worried about some of the things that could happen if we had binding referendum?
They have in the past. There's no question, John, that that's a probability, that they would simply focus their attention of governance and buying what they want in that regard. But I think it's a little more difficult to do when there are some significant social issues at stake. 70% of the people in Wisconsin want a smoke-free Wisconsin, yet the legislature never took a vote on it other than the Senate Democrat Committee. They were afraid of one group, the Tavern League of Wisconsin, but 70% of the constituency, I'm convinced, would say, yeah, we don't want to go into a smoky old restaurant with our children. And that referendum would pass, but yet it is unable to even be brought to a vote from both sides. Democrats and Republicans alike shy away from those issues. I think that would be a prime binding referendum issue that would be accepted by the vast majority of people, regardless how much money the tobacco industry would plow into negative campaigns. It's difficult to badmouth a negative campaign issue, such as smoke-free, versus a candidate. When the candidates are up, they're vulnerable. Individuals are vulnerable. I don't know if issues are that vulnerable.
Let's go next. Well, hang on a second. I have to look at the clock here, getting so buried in the program. I forget I actually have a format I have to follow. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we've got more phone calls for Representative Boyle, and you can get your phone call in, too. Lines are full right now. You might want to try sending us an email. Here's the address, talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Here are the phone numbers, and lines will be opening up soon. 800-486-8655 is a toll-free number. In Milwaukee, please use 227-2050, 227-2050. My guest is State Representative Frank Boyle, 73rd District member of the Wisconsin State Assembly, who is not running for re-election this fall, and we are talking about why that is and about some of the issues that he has championed over the years, and you can call in and ask him questions about those as well. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10:45. Here's what's coming up after the news at the top of the hour. Larry Mueller will be in. Home renovation and repair projects are on the to-do list for Larry Mueller after 11. His guests are Ken Adams of Adams Design and Construction in Madison and John Freiberger of Freiberger & Associates of Fitchburg. That's Larry Mueller coming up right after 11 here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, it's politics on our mind, politics of the state of Wisconsin this hour, as we have with us State Representative Frank Boyle from the 73rd District of Wisconsin, way up here in the northwestern corner of the state. And we have some phone callers who have been waiting to get a chance to talk with Representative Boyle. Let's start with Tom in, Tom in Richland County. I'm sorry, I cut somebody else off. And if that was, whoever that was, please call back. Tom, you're there, so go ahead.
Good morning, Representative. I'm running in the 50th District against Cheryl Albers to try to do some of the things you've been doing, and I'm sorry to hear that you're leaving, but we're going to try to carry on with what you have been doing.
Well, that's great. I congratulate you, and I congratulate any candidate running for these positions. The pay is minimal. The hours are long, particularly the kind of attention you've got to spend in your district. It's a very difficult job. I know that. You know, we complain about not meeting in the legislature, but the majority of your job is right in your district, right in your home. I congratulate you for running, and I wish you good luck.
Hey, and I wanted to mention with this campaign finance, I really support the idea of everyone paying a couple bucks a year on their taxes and then getting rid of all the special interest money. The word I've heard from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign is that we end up spending like $1,600 a person every 2 years through all the bad government we get. And tax credits to the wrong people and all that stuff, instead of just paying $6 a person for 2 years to have it be done on a real democratic level. So what do you think about that?
Absolutely. I think total public funding with strict limits for all credible candidates, the same amount of money in a campaign would be absolutely ideal. We need to take a look at it, and we need to go through the constitutionality of this decision, particularly now in light of the state Supreme Court being dominated by very conservative individuals. I doubt that the money laundering, which they seem to have plenty of access to, is going to stop anytime soon, given the makeup now of the state Supreme Court. There are all kinds of reasons why this incredible race to control state Supreme Courts nationally is occurring, particularly by the conservatives. They know they can govern. They know they can govern by control of the state Supreme Courts. They can question every progressive bill the legislature brings forth. They can talk about the governor's veto power. And in Wisconsin, every public employee out there ought to understand that this state Supreme Court will take a little different look at using the public employee pension fund to supplement the state budget. Tommy Thompson attempted to do that several years ago. In the very early years of his tenure, he was going to take money out of the public employee pension fund to supplement the state budget. The state Supreme Court said you can't do it. So for all of those public employees who didn't go to the polls last week to vote in this state Supreme Court race, hold on to your pocketbooks, because it's going to be a bumpy ride.
We'll go next the line of Steve's continues here. We have Steve in Trigo this time. Steve, good morning.
Good morning. Frank, I can tell you that those of us up here in your district are sorry to see you go, most of us anyway. I thought maybe you were in the mood for a prediction. What would you say about the chances of healthy Wisconsin making it through the legislature in the next 2 to 3 years?
I would say, and I certainly support Healthy Wisconsin, health care for all Wisconsin residents. It was a great a proposal by the state Senate. There isn't a chance in hell of the Wisconsin legislature dealing with this complicated financial issue of campaign finance reform or of funding a health care, universal health care program for Wisconsinites. It carried a huge price tag. The state is in debt along with this federal government, with mortgage rates ripping us apart, gasoline prices increasing, our sales tax are going to fall, our evaluation of property is going to decline. We're going to be scratching for tax base. Where do we get the $16 billion to initiate a health care plan? Payroll deduction tax for everyone was suggested, which was a good plan. It would be construed of as anti-business, and Democrats would be whipped for being anti-business if they initiated that kind of concept. That was the talk, at least in my caucus, when this plan was first initiated. So I'm sad to say that I don't think it's going to happen in the immediate future. And until Americans generally can appeal to the federal government and simply say, stop wasting our money in your crusade in the Middle East. We have a health care crisis in this country. Why don't we fix our roads, fix our health care system, put some money back into this country, into this economy, rather than blowing it up in bombs in the Middle East? But we've made the decision to do otherwise. We are now a nation of debtors, $9.3 trillion. $37,000 for every man, woman, and child. You know, it's real easy for the Republicans in office. And the two Bushes have contributed 50% of the national debt. It's real easy to say, hey, no new taxes, give tax breaks to my wealthy buddies, and we're simply going to put it on a credit card. We're going to buy prosperity and war and all the rest of this absurd business in terms of our national priorities and put it on a credit card. But as the feds go belly up, bankrupt, then that means less money and shared revenues to the states. So we're caught in an incredible fiscal dilemma that I think negates against any health care initiative whatsoever. And I'm very, very sad to say that because I've always been a proponent for national, universal, single-payer health care. I've always said that the greatest economic development initiative the state of Wisconsin could engage in, and I said it 10, 15 years ago, would be to come up with a universal statewide health care plan. Think of the businesses that we could entice into Wisconsin if it was a decent shared plan. But fortunately, we are kind of a microcosm of what's happening on the federal level. And I just simply don't, sadly, I don't see it happening.
Let's go next to Roy in Phillips. Roy, good morning. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. Frank, I'm your old football coach.
Hey, Roy! No kidding! Wow!
No kidding. Boy, I've admired you.
Well, man, and you're older than I am, aren't you?
Holy God, when you said 63, I jumped. I'm 82. We're going on 82.
Hey, you were a wonderful inspiration to us then, and I don't doubt that you're still just an incredible guy.
Well, I sure have admired what you've done. And I agree with you wholeheartedly on this Butler race. I'm so disappointed. First, we get this woman in there who sat on her husband's lawsuits, and now we've got this, what the hell is his name, Galbraith or something like that? They scare the devil out of me. Frank, my first vote was for Harry Truman. That's how old I am, but which I think was great because he won. And the thing is, are we going to be able to keep winning, or are we going to get a su- Supreme Court that is beginning to mirror what we have here, or we're beginning to mirror them.
Yeah, I think the tragedy of these last two Supreme Court races and the buying and selling that went on is that when you spend $4 million in what is supposed to be a nonpartisan race for a Supreme Court justice for a 10-year term, you're stacking the court. And typically, folks that spend $3 million on you want to dance with the guy they brought to the dance. If you know what I'm saying, Roy.
Oh, yeah.
So it's difficult then to know think that there's any sort of independent judgment that isn't influenced by the money purveyors. But hey, it's great to talk to you. You know, I'm sorry I only weighed 140 pounds in high school. I was kind of a second stringer,
but
I was good fodder. I was good fodder, you know. I was a good second
yeah.
stringer. Those big fullbacks would run over me like I wasn't even there.
you did all right, Frank.
It toughened me up for the rest of my life. Thank you. Well, so did you.
Thanks, Roy, for the call. We're starting to run out of time here, so I'm going to ask everybody to be brief, except I know I can't ask Frank that. It would be a waste of time.
It would be anti-Frank.
That's right. But we do have to finish the program. That's the main thing. Julie in Wausau, you're next. Hi, Julie. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Frank. My question is about the Great Lakes Compact. I'm a big fan of it, and I'm always struggling with hearing more details about what's happening with it. So I was wondering if you could just share some of the things about the compact, and I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks.
As of yesterday, I understand we're being called into a special session next week, Thursday, and we will pass the Great Lakes Compact that prevents the diversion of water. The fact that it wasn't done during a regular session, again, it was tremendously troubling, where one community, the community of Waukesha, who wanted unlimited access to water. Now, this is a relatively wealthy community of white flighters from the inner city of Milwaukee, a suburb west of Milwaukee. And evidently some accord was reached for their water demand. So this legislation can go forth. But it was surprising to me and unconscionable that we could sabotage this plan of all of these Great Lakes states and the provinces in Canada because the city of Waukesha, a Republican stronghold, if you will, wanted a special dispensation for access to water in Lake Michigan.
My understanding was that without the compact, Waukesha was going to have more trouble getting water than they would under the compact.
Exactly true. And I don't understand it. Other than anything that reeks of protection, environmentalism is somehow perceived by the Republicans in my body as being anti-business. And so there's this constant prevailing philosophy that any environmental issue, including carbon dating and carbon credit exchange for businesses, of categorizing how much hydrocarbons we're jamming into the air in Wisconsin, that is anti-business, and we weren't allowed to do that. So it doesn't surprise me, but I feel very good that on Thursday the Great Lakes Compact will be passed.
We've got just a couple of minutes left here, and so I just wanted, as we close this, Frank, so you're going to travel, you're going to spend more time with Katie, and continue to work on your issues, not going back on the county board or anything like that?
No, my electable days have come and gone. There's a lot of young troops out there. I mean, we've got to pass this fight to a new generation, and they're out there. I'm tremendously encouraged by the interest in Douglas County Board, Superior City Council, of new young people, 30-ish guys and women, who now are simply saying, we want our chance, and it is imperative that we pass on this concept of governance to a fresh, energized cadre of new idealists. They have the energy, John. They have the vision. They have the creative ability and the endurance to stick in there and to see this process through. I have a great deal of faith in the United States of America's greatest country ever. You only have to leave to see what other countries provide in South America and elsewhere. But it can be better, and it can be greater, And I just think it's got to be left to the newer generation. For people to be running for president at 71 years, excuse me, I got to get that in, is unbelievable to me. The mental acuteness, the awareness, the energy level is negligible. It simply is no longer there. And I'm experiencing that as I approach those years.
Well, Frank, thanks for taking time to stop into the studios this morning and spend this hour with us. And we had more callers who wanted to get in, and we just plain ran out of time.
Well, pleasure. And I want to say it's been a pleasure to serve with people like Dave Travis, my friends, Mary Hubler, Gary Sherman, and others. It's a complete family in Madison as well. And I have tremendously enjoyed knowing you people.
State Representative Frank Boyle from the 73rd Assembly District, my guest this hour. This program was produced by Rhonda Fanning. John Treader handled the telephones down in Milwaukee, did a great job. If you'd like a copy of the program, call the radio store at 800-747-7444. Ask for program 410E, as in election. Sitting in for Kathleen Dunn, I'm John Munson. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.